Jai Radha Madhava.
The following is a class on perfect questions and perfect answers given by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami, recorded in December of 1987 in Mauritius.
Gopi jana bala bhava swara dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So we had announced earlier that we would discuss a certain segment of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is a great book of knowledge that was compiled by Krishnadas Kaviraj about 500 years ago, and the book presents pastimes and philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none else but the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who appeared on the planet 520 years ago. We just sang a bhajan called Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More. This is a bhajan composed by a very great Vaishnava sage known as Narottam Das Thakur, in which he addresses the Lord for His mercy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely distributed the process by which we can develop love of God. And what we are going to discuss today is the dialogue that took place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was externally playing the role of being the governor of a kingdom in southern India, but even though he was acting as a governor, in reality he was a very great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramananda Roy has been described as an incarnation of Arjuna and Vishakha. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as most of you may know, he appeared in Navadvip, but he spent his childhood in Navadvip, but later on he headed for southern India. And as he was leaving for southern India, he was advised that he would meet Ramananda Roy over there. Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they met on the banks of the river Godavari and they had a spiritual discussion. These days, people go on the banks of the rivers, even on the banks of sacred rivers, and go for sense enjoyment and picnics. But in ancient days, people used to have spiritual discussions on the banks of these sacred rivers. And just like King Parikshit had a discussion with Shukadev Goswami on the bank of the river Ganges. So similarly, Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a discussion on the banks of the river Godavari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy a series of questions, and Ramananda Roy gave reply to these questions. So what we're going to do today is read and discuss the question and answer dialogue that took place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. The questions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked are very practical questions, and Ramananda Roy gave very thoughtful replies to these questions. So we shall read the question and the answers. So I'll read the translation and then explain. On one occasion, the Lord inquired, of all types of education, which is the most important? Ramananda Roy replied, there is no education that is important other than the transcendental devotional service of Krishna. So the first question which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked was, of all types of education, which is most important? There's so many different branches of education, isn't it? And in the Bhagavad Gita we see that Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. He says that this knowledge is the king of education. So there's so many different branches of material education that you can possibly get. You can become an engineer, doctor. There are hundreds of subject matters. If you go to a big university in the West, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of subject matters that one can possibly investigate and study. So Ramananda Roy was asked, of all types of education, what actually is the most important? And the reply that Ramananda Roy gave was that there is no education that is more important than that which teaches you how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we are not saying that one should completely discard material education. But according to the Vedic scriptures, actually the word Veda implies knowledge. And the Vedic scriptures give us the highest form of education. The Vedic scriptures instruct us about our constitutional position. So Ramananda Roy replied that there are many different types of education, but the most important aspect of education is that which teaches you how to engage in service to the Lord. In other words, you may have 10 PhD degrees next to your name, but if you haven't understood the basic philosophy about the goal of human life, then all these are simply considered a waste. Just like you may have 1 zero, you may have 100 zeros, but all these zeros do not mean anything. But if you add the figure 1 next to the zeros, then the zeros at once become meaningful. Similarly, you may have material education, but if you do not have spiritual education, then material education is used for destructive purposes. Just like as a result of science's advancement, they have invented so many sophisticated types of weaponry, nuclear weapons, etc. But actually, this is all being used by and large for destructive purposes and not for constructive purposes. In the Sri Ishupanishad, it is stated that one must cultivate material education and spiritual education both side by side. And if you cultivate both spiritual and spiritual education side by side, then that is actually perfection. But if you're just cultivating material education without spiritual education, then it is a waste. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, we see that Prahlad Maharaj, when he returned from school one day, his father made him sit on the lap. And the father inquired, son, what did you learn in school today? The father had instructed Prahlad's teachers that some or the other, it should break Prahlad's attachment for the Lord and make him realize that how his father was the supreme. So Prahlad's father made him sit on his lap And he said, "Son, tell me, what did you learn in school today?" And what did the son reply? Who knows? The son replied, "The ninefold process of devotional service. Sharanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarana, Pada, Sevana, Acharya, Vandyam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedan." The Vedas explain that God can be approached to one, two, or all these nine different processes of self-realization. So, of all types of education, that education which teaches you about the science of God is actually the best. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, "Out of all glorious activities, which is actually most glorious?" So glorious activities means activities that make a man famous. So Ramananda Roy replied, "That person who is reputed to be a devotee of Lord Sri Krishna enjoys the ultimate fame and glory." So, in material life, everyone tries to become glorious. Am I right? Is that right? Everyone wants to be famous, or in Mauritius, people don't want to be famous. They're too humble. So, in material life, everyone wants to be famous. Everyone wants to be recognized as the greatest politician, the greatest businessman, the greatest of everything, isn't it? And everyone is trying to become famous. People want more and more money. Why? Because money buys fame. People want more and more power. Why? Because power also makes you famous, etc. So there are many ways how a man gets recognized as a famous man in society. So basically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question is, of all various activities that can make a man famous, what is actually the most glorious? And Ramananda Roy replied that that person who becomes a devotee of Lord Sri Krishna enjoys the utmost fame and glory. So one who becomes a devotee of the Lord, actually, he enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Just like you can go to any corner of the world, you'll meet people who know Srila Prabhupada. You can go to any corner of the world, they know the Hare Krishna devotees. Last year, about 6 months ago, I was walking with a devotee on the streets of New York. And there was an African man from one of the small African countries. I never even heard of that country. He came running and said, "I know Srila Prabhupada." So I was a little surprised how he knew Prabhupada. He said, "I read Prabhupada's life in a book, Prabhupada Leela Amrita, and I know everything about Prabhupada." So I asked him, "Where did he get the book?" He said, "I got the book in my country." So a devotee of the Lord is famous all over the world, whereas a rich man, powerful man, may be famous in his own area. For example, I've been to Mauritius so many times, but I do not know who the rich people of Mauritius are. And I'm sure if I asked you who are the rich people of India, you would say, Birla, Tata, but everyone knows that. But besides that, you probably wouldn't be able to go too far either. And if I asked you who the rich people in America were, you must say Rockefeller, Ford. Beyond that, you would probably get lost also, isn't it? So the point is, whereas if you went to any corner of the world and you said, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" They would say, "Yes." "Do you know Srila Prabhupada?" "Do you know the Hare Krishna movement?" Virtually everywhere people would say, "Yes." So, Chanakya Pandit discusses this point. Chanakya Pandit says, a rich man may be known in his own village or town, but a devotee of the Lord is known everywhere. So, even if you want to become famous, better you become a devotee of the Lord to be famous. You don't have to climb up the political ladder or the economic ladder. You can climb up the spiritual ladder. Of course, we don't say that become a devotee just to become famous, but the point is, it is automatically that a devotee of the Lord gets recognized, he gets known everywhere. Whereas, if you become even a powerful man, a rich man, etc., you may be known in your own place of residence, etc., but a devotee of the Lord, his fame is widespread. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question was answered by Ramananda Roy by saying, of all types of glorious activities, the one that becomes a devotee of the Lord, he enjoys the utmost fame and glory. Also, from a mature perspective, the fame of a materialist is short-lived. While the man is alive, people may remember him. But then after they die, everything fades with the passage of time. Isn't it? They say time destroys everything. But a devotee of the Lord, his fame doesn't get diminished with the passage of time. You can look at the histories of so many great personalities, spiritual personalities. They are still being worshipped all over the world. The fame of a materialist, even if achieved, is short term, whereas one who becomes a devotee of the Lord enjoys the utmost fame and glory. We just want to clarify one point. One doesn't take to the path of devotional service to become famous or glorious, but the reality is that in comparison to a materialist, the fame of a devotee of the Lord is obviously more widespread. Even today, you can go to any corner of the world, people know all the great sages, and there is a natural respect for spiritual personality. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, these questions and answers are very, very relevant, and these are questions that all preachers should be familiar with, because these are questions that people generally ask you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? And Ramananda Roy replied, he who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is considered is the greatest capitalist. Did you all understand the question? I'll repeat it again. Of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? Ramananda Roy replied, he who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is actually the greatest capitalist. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all types of capitalists, who is actually the topmost? So, you know what's a capitalist? What's a capitalist? Rich person. So, Prabhupada, the purport says, everyone in the material world is attempting to acquire riches to satisfy the senses. So there are many types of rich beings, and everybody is busy trying to accumulate capital. Why do they want to become rich? Because one, money is a medium for sense enjoyment. Two, money is a medium for almost everything they want to achieve. So everybody is running after money. But does the money satisfy the individual? The answer is no. It doesn't satisfy the individual. People these days are greedy. Greedy for more and more wealth, etc. But actually, you can't be satisfied. Doesn't matter how much wealth you may obtain. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni explains, he says a hungry man can be satisfied when you give him some food to eat. And a thirsty man can be satisfied when you give him some water to drink. An angry man can be satisfied when he has the opportunity to shout. Sometimes you're angry at someone. Then he shouts at him. And then your anger goes away. Is that right? Does it happen in Mauritius also? It's universal. But now the money says a greedy man can never be satisfied. So, a greedy man has no limits. He's ready to do anything to obtain wealth. Just like I was so surprised to hear last year I was in England with somebody, and I discovered that one of the biggest exporters of beef from India was a Hindu. One of the biggest exporters of beef out of India was a Hindu. So why is he doing that? He's doing that so that he can make money. So to make money, they're ready to export beef, they're ready to do abortions, they're ready to do anything sinful, etc. because that is the end goal. But actually, people today are so foolish that they do not understand how, for all these sinful acts, later on, they will have to pay the price, there will be reaction. So, one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, one who takes the path of bhakti, he is actually totally satisfied. And he is satisfied in all situations. In the Bhagavatam, there is a nice story. The story is of Lord Vamandev appearing as a beggar. Some of you may have heard that story, have you? So Lord Vamanadev is the incarnation of Godhead, and he appeared as a beggar. So he appeared as a beggar, and he went to the sacrificial arena of whom? Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was a very powerful king. So the king was very attracted to the beauty of this young child beggar. After all, it was God incarnate. When God appears, he manifests his transcendental attributes. So the king asked Vamanadev the beggar, he said, "You have come to my sacrificial arena, what can I do for you?" Just like if a sadhu comes to your house, if you're pious, you say, "What can I do for you?" You know? And if you're impious, you'll tell the watchman, "Tell him Sav Dharman again." Many times when a devotee goes and the personality is worried that he may ask for some money, they say, "Oh, he's not at home." Sometimes they'll answer the phone and say, "Oh, Mr. So-and-so, he's not at home, he's gone out." They don't mind to lie at all. So anyway, but Bali Maharaj was a pious man. So when the beggar came, he said, "What can I do for you?" So the beggar said, "Just give me enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. That's all I want. Enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. So the king said, "You look very childish to me. You don't look very intelligent. You don't go to a big man and ask him for a few grains of rice. Ask me for something more. This is something very small that you're asking me for." So then the beggar Vamandev replied that one who doesn't have control over his senses, he will never be satisfied even if he obtains the wealth of the whole world. And one who has control over his senses, he'll be satisfied in any situation. So he said, "Don't tempt me by wanting to offer me something more. One who doesn't control his senses will never be satisfied." So the point is that in the absence of spiritual knowledge, a materialist endeavors to accumulate more and more capital, thinking that this capital is going to make me happy. But it's not going to make you happy. Prabhupada used to give us a story. Once there was a very learned man living in Krishnanagar. Krishnanagar is in Bengal on the way to Mayapur. So this man was a man of wisdom. Very learned man. And people from great distance would come and travel to meet him to get transcendental knowledge. But this man was living underneath a tree, and he had a wife and few disciples. So one day, somebody told the king that in your kingdom, there is a great sage, and that great sage doesn't even have a place to live. He's very unhappy. So the king felt very embarrassed that in his kingdom there was a rich man, there was a man of wisdom who didn't have a place to stay. So the king came to meet this man and the king said, "I understand that you're not happy. You don't have a place to stay. So can I build a house for you?" The sage said, "Who told you I'm unhappy? I'm very happy. I live underneath this tree. I have few disciples who go and beg some grains. My wife boils them, the food, and gives it, cooks for me. So I'm very happy. I'm totally satisfied." So, when you take shelter of Radha and Krishna, when you take shelter of the process of bhakti, then by the execution of bhakti, you become totally satisfied. On the other hand, you may endeavor very hard for material fame, power, wealth, sense enjoyment, but you will never be happy. The Vedas say, just like when you have an itching sensation, the more you scratch, you may get some instant pleasure, but then the disease becomes worse. So, in material life, you can never be satisfied. Am I right? You can have any amount of success. But if you take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then actually you'll be totally satisfied. You read about the story, I'm sure all of you have heard of the story of Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone. There was once a poor Brahmin, and that poor Brahmin had satisfied Lord Shiva, and then he was directed to Vrindavan, where he met a great sage called Sanatan Goswami, and he was given a touchstone, and that touchstone had the capacity to turn everything into gold. However, one man of wisdom asked him, how did he get this touchstone? And then the sage informed how he got this touchstone, how he had pleased the demigod Lord Shiva, then a Brahmin gave him the touchstone, and this touchstone was lying under a heap of garbage. So the learned man told this Brahmin, you wanted to accumulate the most valuable thing on this planet, and if this was the most valuable thing, why did the great sage keep it under a heap of garbage? So he said, yes, that's right. You don't keep the very valuable under a heap of garbage. Then he came back, and then he was given the holy name. So there should be no doubt that a holy name represents the greatest capital that one can possibly obtain. And if we can obtain the real capital, then that is the means to obtain real satisfaction. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question to Ramananda Roy was, of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? And Ramananda Roy replied that he who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna, riches, but because he has taken to the chanting of the holy name and he's executing the process of devotional service, he is to be considered to be rightly situated. And one who executes devotional service is satisfied by the execution of devotional service. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Do you understand this question? What's the question? Who knows the question? I'm not asking you for the answer, just the question. Yes, of all types of distress, what is most painful? So if you ask an average man on the street this question, what would he say? I'm not making enough money. I'm not getting enough sense gratification. My business is not doing so well. My business is not doing so well, isn't it? So when you can't get your quota of sense enjoyment, then you think you're in distress. Just like a child. A child, when does he cry? When he doesn't get what he wants, isn't it? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question was, of all types of distress, what is actually the most painful? And Ramananda Roy replied, apart from separation from the devotees of Krishna, I know of no unbearable unhappiness. So the question was, of all types of distress, what is most painful? And the reply was, separation from devotees of Krishna is the greatest distress. Separation from devotees of Krishna is the cause of unbearable unhappiness. So the point is that we should regularly hanker for devotee association. Devotee association is very beneficial in remembering what is the goal of life. Devotee association enables one to understand what is right and what is wrong. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you read about a dialogue between Lord Kapila Dev and his mother, Devahuti. Devahuti knew that her son is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So she asked her son, how can I become free from the miseries of birth and death? And the son said, by taking to the path of Bhakti Yoga. And then the mother said, how do I take to the path of Bhakti Yoga? And the son replied, by associating with devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Lava Matra. Lava Matra is described to be 1/14 of 1 second. So even if you get the opportunity to associate with a devotee of the Lord for 1/14 of a second, you can be blessed with wisdom about rendering devotional service. So when you get separated from devotees of the Lord, that is actually a very unbearable and a very painful situation to be in. So we should look forward to devotee association. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read the story of a hunter. This hunter used to get great pleasure in shooting animals, making them suffer. When they would be suffering, he would rejoice. And then when they would die, he would sell their flesh. This was his hereditary business. One day Narada Muni was passing in the forest and he saw so many half-injured animals who were flapping to death. So Narada Muni said, who's the cause of all this? The hunter came out of the bushes and identified, I'm the cause. Then Narada Muni explained how this was a very sinful process. For all these animals that he's killing, he'll have to face a reaction. And as a result, the hunter got so purified that he gave up his sinful business. And then he would even walk so carefully that he would not even step over an ant. So there's so many examples that we can give you that would point at how, by spiritual association, our lives have changed. Just like Srila Prabhupada. He went to the West in 1965. He started his preaching. People at that time had almost no exposure to Lord Chaitanya's movement. But by his preaching, association, he was able to transform the lives of millions of people. And he's continuing to transform the lives of millions of people by the distribution of this transcendental literature. So many of you, like in this audience, I can safely say 90% of the audience today is composed of people who live at home. Am I right? Do all of you live at home? All of you live at home and you are practicing Krishna consciousness at home. But you should look forward to devotee association. That is why Prabhupada started the Sunday program. In all our ISKCON temples around the world on Sundays, we have aartis, we have prasadam, lectures, etc. So that even those who may be working can get the opportunity to come to the temple, associate with devotees, and be educated to understand what is the real business of life. And when you're staying away from devotee association, that's actually a very painful situation. So therefore, we should look forward to devotee association, because devotee association is very helpful in making spiritual progress. And staying away from devotees is actually something very, very painful. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, among many songs, which is considered the actual religion of the living entity, just like you listen to radio, you listen to so many songs. So the question is, among many songs, which song is considered the actual religion of the living entity. So Ramananda Roy replied, that song that describes the affairs of Radha and Krishna, that song describes the transcendental glories of the Lord, that is actually most relishable. In other words, that song, those prayers that describe how we can perfect our human life, that is actually the most beneficial. Out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for the living entity? This is the next question of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is the best for the living entity? And Ramananda Roy replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of the Lord. So, generally in society, there's confusion about what is most auspicious and what is not auspicious. Sometimes when people hear us preaching, they say, what's the value of giving people knowledge of God? Why don't we just give people, why don't we open a hospital or just give someone some food, etc.? So, you may give someone some free medical aid or food to eat, etc. But unless you get to the root cause of suffering, you're not really helping anyone. Therefore, the highest welfare activity that one can engage in is activity by which one can understand how to become free from the cycle of birth and death. This is the highest charity. There are many different types of charity that one can engage in, but the best charity is that knowledge by which people can become free from the cycle of birth and death. That is the most auspicious activity. You may, for example, have opened a hospital. You may, for example, give people free medical care. But unless you tell them how to stop sinning, unless you tell them how to embark into a superior form of activity, they will not give up the sinful activity and thus go on transmigrating into the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, the highest knowledge, the highest activity that one can engage in is that activity by which one can engage in service to the Supreme Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question was, of all types of auspicious activities, of all types of beneficial activities, what is actually the most auspicious and beneficial? And the answer is, the most beneficial is chanting the names of the Lord and hearing about the Lord. The names of the Lord are so powerful. Knowingly or unknowingly, anybody who chants their holy name, he will benefit. Just like fire. Whether a child places his hand in the fire or an adult places his hand in the fire, the hand is going to get burnt. So similarly, the holy names of the Lord, the holy names of the Lord are so powerful that knowingly or unknowingly, anybody who chants or engages in devotional service stands to benefit. Many, many years ago, there was a movie star called Devanand who made a movie called Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. Did you hear of that movie? Okay. Hopefully you all don't watch movies, but anyway. So there was a movie made called Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. And this movie was made right after Srila Prabhupada first came to India with his Western disciples. And when Prabhupada first came to India with his 100 Western disciples, it created such a big sensation because no one in India had even heard of this before. So, this movie star made a movie called Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, in which he completely misrepresented our philosophy, in which he said, people take drugs and take Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, isn't it? They have that famous song, Dam Maro Dam. So anyway, we didn't see the movie, but that's what we heard. So we went to Prabhupada and said, but there was one good thing in this movie, from what I've heard from people who saw the movie. The Hare Krishna melody was in the background of the movie for the whole movie. So we went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, This movie is going to give our movement a bad name in India. Prabhupada said, no, nothing will be lost. People will hear Hare Krishna and benefit. So the chanting of the Hare Krishna, the name Krishna is so powerful. Knowingly, unknowingly, anybody who takes the holy name, he stands to benefit. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's question was, four types of beneficial activities. What is the best? And the reply was, that activity is the best by which people can get love of God. So that is actually the best activity. That is the most beneficial activity to associate with devotees and learn about the science of devotional service. Now, as I said earlier, we did not say that you should not go after material education. You may, if you wish to, but use material education to establish the supremacy of God. Use material education to establish how nothing is independent of the Supreme Lord. Just like Prabhupada also created an institution called the Bhaktivinoda Institute, in which we had many people with scientific backgrounds, but their mandate is prove to the world how nothing exists independent of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further asked, what should all living entities constantly remember? And Ramananda Roy replied, the chief object of remembrance is always the holy name of the Lord, His qualities and pastimes. So the next question of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, what should one constantly remember? There's so many subject matters for remembering, isn't it? What does normally an average man remember? How can I make more money? How can I get some more facilities of sense enjoyment? That is normally the constant object of meditation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, our object of meditation remembrance should be the holy name, His qualities, and pastimes. In other words, some or the other, we should train our mind so that we can focus on Krishna. Krishna does say in the Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad ajima namaskuru. Always think of me, bow down to me, offer your homage unto me. So how do we think of Krishna? It's not so easy. So how do you think of Krishna? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives us certain glimpses of how we can possibly think of Him. Krishna says, think of me as one who knows everything. Think of me as one who is the creator. Think of me as one who is smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. Over here, Chaitanya Ramananda Roy said, we should meditate on the holy name of the Lord, His qualities and pastimes. God has innumerable qualities. For example, one of the qualities of God is, with any one part of His body, they can do the function of any other part. With any one part of His body, He can do the function of any other part. He can, for example, eat with His eyes and ears. Can you eat with your eyes or ears? Huh? Aap log aankhon se aur kaano se kha sakte ho? Nahi, kyun? Why can't you eat with your eyes and ears? Because you're not Krishna. But Krishna can eat with His eyes and ears. Just like the devotees of Krishna, they offer prasad, place the prasad at the feet of the Lord. Then the Lord eats the prasad just by glancing at it, isn't it? And listening to the prayers. So the Mayavadis say, look at those foolish Vaishnavas. They say that God has eaten, but the whole plate is still intact. When you eat your foodstuff, your plate becomes empty, am I right? There's nothing left on the plate. That's when they say you've eaten. And God eats, but everything remains exactly the way it was before the offering. So they say, look at these foolish Vaishnavas, they're brainwashed. They think that God has eaten. How did God eat? Everything is still intact. But they don't understand that God can perform any one function with any one part of His body. He can perform with one part of His body the function of another part. He can eat by seeing. He can eat by hearing the mantras that you chant when you offer. You may try to eat with your eyes and ears, but you won't have much luck, isn't it? You may be hungry, so you may take the soup of the dal and put it in a dropper in your eyes, but it probably won't reach your stomach, isn't it? You may put the dropper in your ears and see if the cold water reaches your tongue. It won't probably quench your thirst. But Krishna can do any function with any one part of his body. So that is because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So meditate on Krishna's qualities and meditate on his pastimes. So the two quick questions, I'll just read them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further inquired, are there many types of meditation which is required for all living entities, which is the best? Srila Ramananda Roy replied, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So there's so many different types of meditation that people practice. There's some yoga societies where they teach you, just close your eyes and fall asleep, and they call that meditation. So what is the best type of meditation? So Ramananda Roy replied that the best type of meditation is to think about the lotus feet of the Lord, to think about the Lord's instructions, pastimes, etc. The nature that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, think of me, bow down to me, offer your homage to me. So, in order to be able to think of Krishna, if you think of Krishna positively, then there'll be no room for the mind to wander negatively. So, best form of meditation is not just to close your eyes and fall asleep, but the best form of meditation is to meditate on the form, the qualities, and the lotus feet of the Lord. And if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then this meditation becomes easier. When you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, what are you doing? You're addressing the Supreme Lord who is non-different from His holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Lord, you're so kind, you've invested all your transcendental energies in your holy name. So when you chant the names of the Lord, you're purifying your heart and your senses, and you're able to meditate. You're able to think about the Lord. But if you don't chant, then to meditate on the Lord is impossible. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where should the living entity live, abandoning all other places? You understand that? Where should the living entity live, abandoning all other places? What did Ramananda Roy say? Live in Mauritius. The most auspicious of all places. So the holy place is known as Vrindavan or Brajabhumi, where the Lord performed his transcendental pastime. That is, without doubt, the most auspicious place to live in. So what does this mean, that all of you should now go back, sell your houses and move to Vrindavan? Actually, what this means is that you should convert the atmosphere in your house to be like that of Vrindavan. In other words, you should have a small temple in your house, or you should make an altar. You should train up all the members of the family to chant Hare Krishna, to practice the process of devotional service. You should have the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. You should, whatever you eat, you should offer to Krishna. In other words, you should transform the material atmosphere to a spiritual atmosphere. And then, if you live in that environment, then you will all be able to practice by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and answered by Ramananda Roy a very practical question, isn't it? What is the best form of education? What is the most glorious activity? What is real capital? What is the best distress? What is the best form of remembrance? Where should one reside in? These are questions which each of us is always asking. And the best way is to get the answers from the scriptures. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has been described as the most merciful of all incarnations, he freely distributed this process of love of God. And he told us all, Jare Dako Taya Kaho Krishna Upadesh, that whoever you see, give him knowledge about Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the process of self-realization very, very simple for all of us. All we have to do is chant Hare Krishna mantra, read the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, associate with devotees, worship the deity of the Lord, and make the atmosphere at home saintly. And thereby, staying wherever we are purifying ourselves and making progress on the journey back to Godhead. We should never forget how rare a privilege this human form of life offers, and the correct utilization of this is if we can take to spiritual life. So our humble request to everyone who is assembled here is, please take to this process of Krishna consciousness for your happiness. This is the real path of happiness, and anybody can take to this path. There's no pre-qualification required. You don't have to be a rich man. You don't have to know French or Creole or English or Hindi. You don't have to be very handsome or educated. Whatever it is, anyone can take to this chanting process. It is our experience. Like even when we were doing kirtan today, when we were singing the Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhajan, not all of you were joining together. I could see that. But when we came into the Hare Krishna mantra, everyone was joining together. Everyone thought, oh, now it's so easy for me. So this chanting is very easy. It is very sublime. And anyone can take to it. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, came to your country twice. He had very great expectations from all of you. He said, this country can become the first Krishna conscious country. So please take to this Krishna conscious process and give it to others also. Hare Krishna.